Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome to Hour 2, and we had the first rankings in the 12-team playoff era, pop up last night, and the CFP rankings are the exact same as the coaches poll, at least 1 through 17. I mean, I'm not going further than that, but 1 through 17, they're the exact same. As I look up, and Pat McAfee has it up on the screen, so I can easily check take a look, it appears that at least 1 through 21, they're exactly the same. So the the coaches and the committee feel the same. And if that number 22 helmet is a Louisville helmet, I think that might have been a Washington State helmet. I can't tell.
Number 22 in the CFP?
22 is Louisville, 21 is Washington State. I'm looking at the coaches poll, and it's the exact same. Is it one? Nah, Missouri snuck in. Yes, I think at 1 through 25, the coaches and the CFP are exactly the same.
Wait, really?
Yeah, Louisville, yeah. If I look at it.
No, Yeah.
Vandy's not in the top 25 of the coach. No, you're right. You're right. I'm looking at something. It does differ
in
the
bottom. Yeah, Army's 19.
Yeah, it does differ from after like 18. It does differ. Or 17. It does differ a little bit, but they could have just gone with the coaches for the first 17 or so teams and been okay, the coaches did our job for us. We'll do our interviews, but we're not doing much work.
I mean, with the AP, all they did was flip Ohio State, Georgia, and flip LSU A&M. That's the only difference. Everything else, exact same.
So, we have, you know what? Let's clean it up here. Georgia and Ohio State, as far as the top five, is the biggest difference between they're flipped in the coaches and the AP, and the playoff rankings have the opposite. So that's really let me clean that up. That's the biggest one. So there are some differences even in the coaches poll through the top 12, and that's the biggest one. They decided that Ohio State belongs at number two, where the AP has Georgia at number two. Doesn't make much of a difference outside of, I guess, where you would play if these rank seedings hold out or the rankings hold out. Well, but by the way, Ohio State can't be two because they are not currently looked at as the number one or as the seed in the Big Ten because Oregon's number one. So Ohio State would be hosting a playoff game and not have a bye. So that's the difference. That's an important difference between the rankings and the seeding. Just because you are a top five team does not mean you will have a bye, or top four team, doesn't mean you'll have a bye, particularly if you aren't your conference champion. If you're not your conference champion, you can't have a bye. So that's where Ohio State would fall to five. They would host Boise State in that scenario.
For an example, BYU is number nine in the poll, but in the bracket, they're number four.
Yes. So while the rankings are fun and there's something to take a look at, and, of course, they'll change throughout the course of the year. We'll have games this week that'll definitely affect them with teams in the top 25 of the new rankings because Georgia's got a big couple weeks. They got to play Ole Miss, and I think after that they got Tennessee. So Georgia has a couple weeks where they have to weather the storm.
It is funny how hard Georgia's schedule is when you think about it. But they're Georgia, so you're not
worried about it.
It's not that much different than Florida schedule, and we're like, oh my God, Florida.
Yeah, remember Florida, at the start of the year?
Florida might not survive this.
Remember at the start of the year how we were talking about Billy Napier? Man, the last like six games are tough. Of course, one of them was Florida State now, so it feels a little different. although you would love to have at least one of your top two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Now you're down to number three, so maybe that opens up a door for Florida State to win that game. But, yeah, Georgia having Texas, Florida, Ole Miss, and Tennessee four straight weeks, you're like, whatever, just win the games, Georgia.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, they started the season with Clemson.
Yeah.
Who's, like, ranked, at least. That was their non-conference game.
Yeah, it turns out Clemson is kind of what we saw in that week one game where they're not exactly championship material. They are a team in some flux, just not enough talent. They have not shown up well against teams who they didn't clearly outmatch. That's what they beat up on the Minnows this year, and the bookends were losing to Louisville and losing to Georgia also. So I mentioned it when we started the show that the CFP could try to divide this show. Now it's week one of the rankings, but if this stood and Texas didn't make it to the SEC title game, sorry for insulting you guys. I'm still thinking, you know, of all the history of you in the Big 12, but you're an SEC team. I apologize.
It's all right.
If Texas doesn't win the SEC and obviously makes the playoff as an at-large, currently the CFP has it set up where they would have to play Alabama, and if they beat them, they see Miami in the Peach Bowl. This show will survive. We're very normal people. But the day after, or at least the first day we're back after that game happened,
it'll be a rough day.
It'd be a rough day for one of us. One of us would be trying to avoid being too joyous. The other would be like, I guess you could say the lead. If Texas won, I'd talk about it because it was a big game. I wouldn't be happy about it. But then I'd say, you know what? Who am I? Miami hasn't been good for like half of my adult life. They made the playoffs and did it the real way, like winning the conference and we're a top four team. Mostly I'd just be pissed that, oh, this is the year we expand to 12. I wouldn't be feeling this pain. There'd be like two more weeks before a game would even be played.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's still a long way away. But that's what it looks like at the moment, where Alabama and Texas would play.
I do love that they just like an extra SEC game. Why not?
Yeah.
Just Texas, Alabama.
Well, they have said they don't really care about that, whether it be conference opponents facing each other or rematches. That is not something they are going to try to avoid.
Do you believe them? I don't believe them with rematches. I have a hard time thinking that we'll get a Ohio State-Indiana game, or, you know, just as a example, because those teams actually play each other. It is easier because with expanded conferences, none of these teams really – or not none of them, but it's
less
rare,
likely.
Yeah, to get matchups between these teams. But
if it was, say, a 7-10, 8-9, do I think they might move one of them around to avoid it?
Okay.
Now, you'd have to do it – would you have to do it the week before the final rankings? Like, you – because if they're right next to each other, set up for a game, and nothing that happens on championship week would directly affect that, they would have to do it the week before.
Yeah.
Find some reason to move someone around.
And if you are talking about like the 8-9, 7-10 matchup, there's a very good chance that those teams will not be involved in the championship games with their teams. Because right now, those teams are Tennessee, who is the, third SEC team?
In the rankings.
In the rankings. Indiana, who is the fourth Big Ten team in the rankings. Notre Dame, who doesn't play in the Big Ten, or doesn't play in any conference. And Penn State, who's third in the Big Ten, according to these. So, none of these teams are really going to factor into the championship. As it stands right now, they're not going to factor into the championship games. So, yeah, you would probably have to do your work beforehand. Or, what I'm interested in is, how much do they penalize? Like, say, Oregon and Ohio State play again. Georgia, Texas plays again, both in the Big Ten SEC title games. And let's just say it's chalk, and it's Oregon wins again, Georgia wins again. Is Texas and Ohio State going to be knocked down because they took an extra loss? Are they not going to be the 5 and 6 seeds because they played on championship Saturday?
Would a loss take a home game away from them?
Yeah. Or would Ohio State go, or it's easier for Texas because Ohio State's the 5 and Texas is the 6. So Texas loses to Georgia and Atlanta. Texas, instead of being the 6 seed, is now like the 8 seed. Like, does that happen? Because none of the other teams below them would have played or lost.
Yeah.
Or is it just like,
you would hope,
hey,
you would,
what, are we going to hold it against them that they had to play an extra game?
Yeah, you would hope that losing a game against that type of opponent simply because you're good enough to make your conference title game doesn't remove the possibility of a home game for you in the playoff. You don't want that double whammy where you lose a bye and then you lose a home game, because if you didn't have to play in the game, you at least had a home game.
Yeah, and it's a weird precedent of, yeah, it turns into, wait, do you not want to, like, if you're not going to be in the
if you're not going to win your conference, if you're not going to win your title game, isn't it just better
just to
not play in
just
it?
To be third in your conference and not second?
And have at least a home game?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would hope that's the case. I can't promise it, obviously, but that makes some sense. Which means, since it's college football, they won't do it. Yeah.
Who knows? The answer is, if it's Indiana will get punished for losing that
the
game.
Brand.
If it's Ohio State and Texas, they will not get punished for losing
certainly,
that game.
Now, certainly, the level of defeat matters. Like, if the lower-seeded team gets their doors blown off, then maybe you punish them that way. But if it's a competitive game, if you need to drop them a spot to show that losing matters, but it allows for them to keep a home game, then I'm with it. I just hope we're not talking about, hey, we had a bad day and we lost, so now instead of hosting a Southern team in our building, if you're a cold weather team, now we got to go down south because we were playing in a game that meant something and they had the week off. That is something they're going to have to combat. You would think they'd take that into account, but as we said, we don't know. We don't know if they will really use common sense in that. But those are the rankings. Those are some of the scenarios. And, of course, that'll be in flux throughout the rest of the year. And if we're talking about major games that could determine some of that stuff right now, I mentioned Georgia against Ole Miss. I'm trying to think of anyone else going anywhere where you can look at it and go, oh, look, a ranked matchup here.
Oh, this week?
Looking at it right now.
Alabama-LSU is basically an elimination game. Alabama's 11th,
so
LSU's 15th.
A lot of the focus will be on the SEC. Imagine that this week.
I'm sorry.
You don't apologize. No one looks at you as SEC. You're just Texas.
I'm just saying. Because I brought up another SEC game, but there isn't a Big Ten game this week.
Oh,
Indiana-Michigan, because Michigan defending champ. No, wait, they stink. Whoops.
So Alabama-LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss. Two big games that, as Sean mentioned, three teams could be eliminated from the race. Like, Georgia loses, they're still in it. But Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, could take a loss there, and you are likely done for when it comes to the CFP.
Two preseason top 10 teams, Notre Dame and Florida State.
Notre Dame is still top 10. FSU, not so much. 7-1. Look, NBC's like, yeah, we got defending ACC champion Florida State on the schedule coming to Notre Dame. Should have found a way to put that game on Peacock. But it's 1-8, Florida State, 7-1, Notre Dame on NBC.
I was actually thinking about this last week when I think the NBC game was Iowa-Wisconsin.
Which is, for Big Ten standards, it's not bad. Those are two teams who are pretty good this year.
Yeah.
Like, Iowa-Wisconsin pretty good.
Yeah. And I was thinking, has NBC, other than the Ohio State-Oregon game, which I get is either the biggest second.
It's right around there.
It's the biggest non-SEC game that there's been this season.
Yes.
How many other good NBC games have there been? Or at least good matchups?
Going into it?
Yes. Like, how many, like, heavyweight fights has NBC? Because I feel like every time it is a mid-table Big Ten team playing a good Big Ten team and getting their doors blown off.
Yeah, they don't... how they got Oregon, Ohio State, maybe that's the one they said we're taking priority. That's the one we want. But for the most part, the big games in the Big Ten are going to wind up on Fox.
Yeah, it was on a multi-view, and it was by far the worst game in the multi-view. And I was thinking, like, man, I really not spend that much time on NBC this year because they just got a bad draw, I guess.
Yeah. Or they simply are third in the pecking order when it comes to games. That might be because CBS has their package there, too. They have the ability. Obviously, they're broadcasting Big Ten games, so maybe NBC is just not high on the pecking order.
And Big Ten, listen, they have literally the top two teams in the country, according to the College Football Playoff Committee.
And that game was on NBC.
But, I mean, or how about this? They have 6-8. And that's really the only four compelling teams in their conference, and one of them's Indiana, who hasn't had a big spotlight game yet.
No, and they will get that later in the year when they have Ohio State on the schedule. So we'll find out a lot about Indiana. One of the surprises.
Well, they're playing on CBS this week. That's a big spot for Indiana.
Yes, to have them there. And it's not bad for CBS. I wonder if people are intrigued by Indiana or they won't be, despite where they are and what kind of year they've had. How many people know anybody on the roster? It's new. It's a lot of transfers. It's a new head coach in year one. Not a lot of groundwork laid for this Indiana run. So maybe some people will get their first introduction to Indiana coming up here on Saturday. Okay. We'll come back with more. We'll hear, well, I got to ask a question to Sean because there's something went on in Indy on Sunday, and it didn't bother me, but in fact, I laughed. But I wonder if I'm a bad person for laughing because it's clear that these are young children going against grown men. And I'll explain what that is when we come back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back. This one will be a short segment, so let's get my thought in here. I was watching, let's be honest, it popped up on the timeline. I'm not looking for mascot games against kids. No one is, but I asked myself, after watching it and laughing at Blue, the mascot for the Colts, just shove a kid to the ground, chalk trash, outside of the football game, which is weird because you just got mascots playing like 12-year-olds or whatever. Are we allowing the fact that that guy, it could be a woman, but that person is in a blue horse costume to distract us from the fact that that's an adult bullying a kid? I know it's football. I know the kid has pads and helmet, and it's all fun to watch the Minnesota Viking mascot catch a pass and then talk trash, although they don't speak. It's part of the rules. But I was like, wait a minute. Once the play is over, it's just some grown man shoving a kid to the ground because he can, because he's wearing a mascot suit. I'm like, should I be laughing? I was laughing. It is funny to watch the mascot do it. I just started to question myself. Is this wrong? Should we be okay with just letting the adult do whatever the hell he wants simply because he's wearing a dumb costume? Like, we wouldn't. And it does have football surrounding it too, so that's part of the equation. The environment helps. You're in front of like however many people are watching at halftime and not in the bathroom. But Blue gets away with everything. That he's one of the first mascots to go, you know what? I can do whatever the hell I want during this scenario.
He's a habitual line stepper?
He is. And he knows he can get away with it because, hey, look, the kid's got pads on. I'm wearing this stupid costume. No one knows who I am. I'll do whatever I want, whenever I want to this kid. Yeah, I know he's 9 years old. So what? I'll taunt him. I'll tackle him after the whistle. It don't matter.
It's okay. So I think the act of playing the game, that's fine.
Even that's in question. But sure,
I think it's fine.
It's fine. Whatever.
Just let's
let's push that aside.
Yeah, because then you just can't have the rest of the conversation.
Sure.
I think the taunting is okay. I think that's also funny.
Okay. Why? Because he's in the costume. Like if he was an adult playing.
Yeah, even an adult just taunting a kid, to me, is funny, no matter what.
Sure.
I think it's the after-the-whistle extracurriculars. That's where it crosses the line.
I think there should be a line.
That's where I'm like, I agree with you. This is now just an adult pushing a kid down after
because
the whistle.
Because he knows it doesn't matter. People laugh because all they see is a stupid blue horse.
It is funny. I will give him that. It is funny.
I'm trying to separate how much I'm laughing at what's going on from the fact that, wait a minute, it's just some 24-year-old in a costume. I hope so. Could be someone in their mid-30s. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows how old that person is?
Wasn't there a thing where like the Denver Nuggets mascot makes like 80 grand? Yeah, it's Ekman Byfield. Yeah, like six figures.
And the Phoenix Gorilla was one of the stars, too. I forgot how much he was making. But yeah, Rocky, I think, is the mascot for the Nuggets. Remember when when the Rockets had like a superhero mascot? It didn't go well. It was back when they had their pajama uniforms during the Steve Francis, Coutinho era. And then they just, we're just going to go clutch. They had this yoked up guy who, well, looked like a superhero. And then they just decided clutch is better. We'll have an inflatable clutch. We'll have a plush clutch. No more of, I don't know what the nickname for that guy was, but it was a little disturbing. Look it up. Rockets mascot Turbo. That's what it, that's his
Turbo.
Name. Turbo. They got Turbo no longer exists.
R.I.P. Turbo. The Denver Nuggets mascot apparently makes $600,000 a year. According to this article I'm reading.
A lot more than the dude who drives that train, who's probably making a per game stipend as opposed to an actual salary for the Astros.
Harry the Hawk, the Atlanta Hawks mascot, also makes $600,000.
I didn't know it was
so, Benny the Bull makes $400,000.
I didn't know it was so lucrative to be an NBA mascot.
But it says the average is $60,000. Or, yeah, $60,000. So but all these guys are making six figures.
I wonder if because Benny the Bull, is it the mantle or the fact that the guy in the costume's been around for years? Like, or if you become Benny the Bull, no matter when you do it.
The title gets paid
that
much?
Yeah, you get paid that much.
I don't know. But even, like, Hugo the Hornet gets paid $100,000. Not to... You know,
I don't
even
know.
Hugo the Hornet.
I don't know what Hugo the Hornet does. But
I mean, Hugo the Hornet and the Atlanta Hawks mascot, the rest of them, if you want to tell me that the mountain lion for the Nuggets is the highest paid, Benny the Bull and the gorilla for that's an understandable big three.
They're pretty much iconic NBA mascots, but the Hornet?
The Hawk? The Hawk, the Hawk and the Hornet?
Who cares about
these
those
teams
two?
Don't even pay the luxury tax. Why are they paying a guy in a suit
actively,
the NBA minimum?
They're actively manipulating their roster on occasion not to pay the luxury tax, but they will give that they will give their mascot big bucks.
That's half of a player's salary.
A minimum, sure. a young player who's not,
yeah,
who's
maybe,
not a veteran?
Maybe a two-way. This is about what a two-way makes. Like, just for a guy to throw a cake in someone's face on a Tuesday night?
Well, that's what Clutch does. Does everyone do that?
Oh, is there...
How much does Clutch make per year?
I don't know. I can only see the top ones. Let me do some more. Oh, my gosh.
While Sean's looking that up...
Accept cookies.
I do realize it's funny. But if we are bullying the kid and pushing him to the ground, pretty much committing personal fouls if it was an actual football game, maybe we take a step back, grown man. Maybe we let the 12-year-old have his fun. And the 12-year-olds were pushed back. They'll fight back because they're not going to take it. They're out there playing ball. But Blue, one of the more egregious habitual line steppers in all of mascots. Seems to be working out for him.
Yeah, I can only see the top five.
So they have an entire list, but you have to, what, get past a paywall or something?
I guess. Or just this article just only has the top five because it's the most inflammatory. Thinking about it, if all these guys make – I mean, the top two make 10 times what they're saying the average is. That means the rest of them probably make so little it's embarrassing.
To bring it down, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I can't find what
– It just make you sad to read how much Clutch makes or how much the Toronto Raptor makes.
Yeah, I found reporting about what Clutch makes. I don't know how reliable it is. It's just a site. I'm not sure. But this site says he's making, or he or she is making, $100,000.
Then how's the
or average? Estimated to be around $100,000.
Okay.
Not sure. Well, maybe, I don't know. Who are the mascots? Maybe the deer in Milwaukee is making like $24,000. Maybe he's bringing it down.
I mean, you need like half the NBA to drag it down that much.
Well, smaller markets.
The Charlotte Hornets are paying theirs the mid-level exception.
you can't call into question their decision making. I mean, I can. They got,
yes,
Miles Bridges on the team. You can't call into question their decision making in Charlotte.
They as a franchise, they never won a second round playoff.
That doesn't mean you can't have an entertaining mascot who entertains the crowd in the middle of stoppages while you're getting your ass kicked for the most part. You got to have something, and that's what the Hornets have.
They have Hugo.
But, oh, they don't even call it Buzz. I thought that mascot's name was Buzz.
It said Hugo the Hornet.
Alliteration. There it is.
I don't like the gorilla's name is Go the Gorilla.
It's just Gorilla?
No, it's Go the Gorilla.
That's terrible. That's what it, Go? That's his name?
That's what it said on the article.
That's an awful name.
Maybe they're just, because it was all Benny the Bull and Rocky the Mountain Lion. Like, so it's all in that format, so maybe it is Gorilla, but it whatever. In this, probably AI wrote this because it's a Sports Illustrated article.
No, Go the Gorilla.
Okay,
Go. That's
okay.
His name.
That's what you also got.
Yeah,
okay, cool.
It is Go the Gorilla. Suns, please.
It's Gorilla. Just call him Gorilla.
Well, that name's taken now.
That's Glorilla.
Too close. Confusion, as evidenced by me.
Then they missed their window.
Yes,
they missed the what? How long has Go the Gorilla been the mascot? They missed
since 1979.
Okay, so they missed the first 50 years that they could have gone.
Sorry, now you're bordering on copyright infringement. The name is too close. Sorry.
Some 25-year-old rapper now owns that name.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sorry. You should have taken advantage of it when you had the chance. Okay. I would say for mascots everywhere, you want to hit the kid legally during the whistle, before the whistle?
Yeah. Keep him between the lines.
Cool. But once the play is over, don't slam him to the ground.
Gosh. And they're making six figures to do that for the opportunity.
I think there's something up in their head a little bit wrong. The adult in the costume, not the actual blue mascot that you're seeing, that is something they want to do. Like, at some point, I'd be like, you know what? I don't even really want to play football against 12-year-olds. But if I got to do that for my job, understood. I'm not going to late hit a kid.
I think it's once you like crack open the like, oh, I'm
once
gonna,
the seal's
I'm,
broken.
Yeah, I'm gonna drop. I'm gonna truck stick them. I'm gonna do all this. Then like some of this is on the refs.
True.
They have to nip that in the bud.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to send the message early.
Get the
That's
game
what
under
Terry
control.
McCauley tells us every weekend. And Matt Austin, all the rules officials are like, hey, well, you want to flag this early so it doesn't get out of hand as a ref.
Like once you decide I'm gonna high step. I'm going to taunt. I guess what's next is personal foul penalties. I guess.
They just spear a kid.
The kid didn't back down. Kid talked a little trash. You get speared. And
the
look, I'll
Brian
do that.
Branch
I'll do that thing with, because they all have that stupid belly that they have where they bump it, that thing. I don't even know how to describe it.
Yeah, I don't like that around the kids.
It bothers me. And they do that too. Blue did it too. I watched that clip and the Vikings like, hey man, calm down. The Viking mascot told him to calm down.
Yeah, like the hip thrust. I mean.
Yeah, it's weird. He did the hip thrust, and the Viking thing was Viking guy was like, "Relax, man. They're kids out here."
They should have like the leprechaun for Notre Dame out there.
That's an actual man.
Yeah,
that people can see.
No, but just to like really send home, like
yeah,
what we're watching.
They're adults in there.
Yeah.
I get that.
Like if this makes you uncomfortable, why is him wearing a blue horse head not make you uncomfortable?
Yeah,
while they're doing the same thing.
Blue horse head he can wear and do whatever he wants. Stupid facial hair he can't do as the Notre Dame mascot.
It's like, just because he's 5'6". They're like, yeah, come on.
Well,
at least the horse is 6 foot tall.
Or taller. It's about a damn giraffe, it looks like, that thing. All right. We will get back into less dumb things, I guess I would say. More serious things. Mike Gundy apologized. We'll play this now from Matt. We didn't play it on this show. Actually, we'll play what got him to apologize. Mike Gundy said some things about the fan base that forced an apology. You know Mike Gundy doesn't want to apologize about anything. But he did. We'll play that sound when we come back. But first, Sean's going to talk to you about Prize Picks.
Yes, Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. And guess what? Rockets back in action here tonight. They play the San Antonio Spurs for the third time in eight games. They're playing the San Antonio – no, yeah, eight games. Wow. They're playing the San Antonio Spurs. This is your opportunity to make some money, folks. You've seen this matchup two times before already. You know you watch the Rockets every night, and for almost half the nights of the season, you've watched them play the Spurs. So you know the matchup. You know Dylan Brooks is going to have Victor Wembanyama in the torture chamber here tonight in Toyota Center. So what you're going to do is you're going to want to take some lesses on Victor Wembanyama. You're going to take some mores on Aper and Shingun. He had his first good game of the season on Monday night. Do you think it continues? He did score 40 against Wimby last year in one of the last games he played in the month of March. So you go to Prize Picks, download the app. All you have to do is use code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's code MAPES to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, run your game.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are.
No, not really. Okay.
Not at all, actually. because if they were here, they'd have to account for the weather. And you say, what do you mean weather? Well, it's either 85 degrees or 60 degrees in here, depending on how the air conditioning wants to run. So if you're here for whatever reason, bring a jacket. Coming up here shortly, next week, we've got something pretty cool out at Wonder Brewing. It is the tailgate presented by Verizon. It's November 11 from 6 to 9 at 8th Wonder Brewing. It is a celebration of Houston sports and the fans that cheer them on. You'll savor sports-inspired bites from top Houston restaurants, including Big City Wings, Laurel, Pizarro's Pizza, Uche, and more. You can sip on premium cocktails, bid on memorabilia, and enjoy plenty of game day fun. Upgrade to VIP to meet and greet with Texans legends Brian Cushing and Travis Johnson, courtesy of Verizon. Tickets include all food and drinks. Get yours now at tailgate.culturemap.com. Use promo code ESPN for $10 off any ticket type. That'll be pretty cool. Get a chance to eat, drink, meet Brian Cushing and Travis Johnson, November 11 from 6 to 9 at 8th Wonder Brewing. Okay. Mike Gundy's not had a great year. The Cowboys have been disappointing. At last check, well, really the last time I paid attention to them at all, it was them finding a way to beat Arkansas. And that was probably the high watermark of their year. Oklahoma State's not been a good football team this year, and they doubled down on that against Arizona State. And the Natives aren't happy with Mike Gundy. Of course, that dude is not going anywhere. Mike Gundy will be there until he decides he doesn't want to be there anymore. And this was, that probably led to what he said here. Now, he has since apologized for it because someone actually made him do it, or maybe he came to the conclusion that, hey, maybe I shouldn't have done this. But here's Mike Gundy talking about the criticism he's faced.
This place has had tremendous success for 18 and a half years, or 19. I can't do the math real good. And so, unfortunately, in life, most people are weak. And as soon as things start to not go as good as what they thought, they fall apart and they panic. And then they want to point the finger and blame other people. That you see it happen in everyday life. People do it all the time. That's why I refuse to watch the TV and watch the news, because I get tired of people complaining and bitching about this and that versus just doing something about it and trying to figure out a way to make it better. Well, that's what happens in college athletics. And as Jenny said, she's exactly right. It's just on the bigger stage where people can voice their opinion. And in most cases, the people that are negative and voicing their opinion are the same ones that can't pay their own bills. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of their own family. They're not taking care of their own job, but they have an obligation to speak out and complain about others because it makes them feel better. But then in the end, when they go to bed at night, they're the same failure that they were before they said anything negative about anybody else.
Sean, are you taking that into account the next time you go after a certain quarterback in Austin?
What?
Are you one of those people? Well, I know you have a job. So Mike Gundy's wrong about you there.
Yeah.
But
I do make less than half of, or no, like a third of what NBA mascots make. So
understood. So maybe you can't take care of your family.
Yeah, that's true.
Gundy has you dead
He's
on.
He's got me there.
He's got you. He's got you pegged there.
Luckily, my family is only me, yes. depending on my income.
Yeah, and still, we got a question whether you can take care of your family. Thanks, Price Picks, for helping out. But he's talking about people like you, Sean, although yeah. I think he's mischaracterized you because you do have a job.
Boom.
But you do trend negatively depending on what your quarterback does.
Well, I thought it was about Oklahoma State that I'm trending negatively, is fair because they've lost six straight games.
We ought to be negative. This is not the great time for Mike Gundy to take shots when your team is awful. And he goes, hey, we've been good around here for 18 years. He's talking about himself, by the way. It's not like he's referencing years before he got there. He's not referencing the Les Miles years. He's talking about him.
I've been good.
I've been. Just say it, Mike Gundy. I know what you're doing. Hey, we've been good 18 years. This program. No, you mean you. You mean you. Just take credit for it. You're not fooling anyone
just
when
the
you
big
do that.
Me.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, you're not referencing the history of Oklahoma State football. It's your history there.
Barry Sanders. He doesn't care.
No, he's talking about the Woods brothers, although some of them might have played before he became the head coach. But Justin Blackman, Brandon Whedon, those are my guys. We've been good. You're not good now. They were 18th ranked coming into the year. You know it's a problem when he tried to get off the I'm going to start my son at quarterback thing he did. And then you realize, wait a minute, this kid can't play.
No.
That's a problem. Look, we've seen it at Clemson. Dabo puts his kid in never to start, but Dabo will throw his kid in to hold or be a receiver late in the fourth quarter of a game. He's done that. You've got Kirk Herbstreit's kid holding for field goals.
Do you have a Venables out there?
Multiple Venables have played starting for Clemson in title games because Venables like, you know what? I kind of helped turn this program around with Chad Morris. Let me do me. And now he's in Oklahoma, and it's a benefit to all the SEC, it looks like. We'll see how Oklahoma – we'll see if Oklahoma can pull out of it. I have my doubts. But the minute Mike Gundy decided, I'm going to start my son at quarterback, we all should have known. The man has gotten too comfortable.
Yeah.
And right now he's dealing with having to play Alan Bowman. Ollie Gordon hasn't had a great year, and the team as a whole has disappointed. 18th ranked, and now
they're 0-6 in the Big 12.
The worst team in the Big 12.
It's bad. They returned a ton. Returned like 17 starters.
They were supposed to be good, maybe CFP caliber, not a championship contender, but a team who could make the playoff because it's now been expanded, possibly win the Big 12.
But it's our fault for being negative.
Yes, but your fans can't be negative. Now he's apologized. I apologize to those who my comments during Monday's media call offended. My intent not to offend any of our fans who have supported us in this program through the years. Who were you talking about then? Of course it was to offend. Because just because they're negative and rightfully so now doesn't mean they haven't supported you in the past.
Just saying you're broke and poor.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
And no matter how much you criticize me, you're still going to be poor. Didn't mean to offend you guys. Sorry.
Yeah, okay, Mike Gundy. You got upset because you're rightfully being criticized, and then someone said, hey, Mike, that wasn't great. Can you clean that up a little bit? He took to Twitter to do it. Now, I need audio. If you're going to do it with your chest with audio, I don't need you writing a statement on Twitter, not even from the official program letterhead. He just did it on Twitter.
Notes app?
Yes.
Oof.
You don't get out there in front of a media member and go, hey, man, hey, guys, love what you've done. This is a rough year. But we're Cowboys till we die. Whatever he might say, what Cowboy up, guns up, whatever. That's Texas Tech. I don't know what pistol? Did they say pistols up? What do they say?
I don't know.
You're a known hater of Oklahoma State football. You should know.
Yeah, because their team sucks. I don't know. They haven't been doing a lot of celebrating this year, Dell. I don't know if you know.
Oh, if you haven't heard, they've been good for like 18, 19 years. You can't do the math.
Yeah.
But
maybe get a coach who can do the math.
Maybe you'd be better off. At least this year. What an awful coaching job this year.
This is something that I 100% believe, not just because of the results as of late, but also this quote. This sounds like a guy who's going to quit in the offseason. It sounds like a guy who's going to go out. The game passed me
by. Not
the game passed me by. You know, things are out of hand. It's crazy these days. All the transferring, all the NIL, even though he brought back his entire team.
It's go Pokes, by the way. They're saying. You think he's out off of this year? Like, even Saban, we talked about Saban when the show first started, kind of. He and his wife having discussions about why the game had changed and he wanted out. But at least Saban went out with the playoff appearance. Gundy's the type of guy who will leave when he hits rock bottom?
I mean, yeah. Does he sound like he's a guy who wants to keep coaching?
I mean, have some personal pride. You can't. This program has been you, synonymous with you for almost two decades. And then you go back to when you played there. You're going to leave it.
He is the most successful coach in Oklahoma State history.
That's true.
By far. So,
it's
like,
very true.
Okay, so he comes back next year. What, they stink next year? He can never quit?
No, he can quit. But
yeah, he's just going to quit.
But at least
this sounds like a guy who's ready to quit.
At least give it a go. You get rid of the curse.
For what? No, the kids these days, Dell. Even though he coaches Alan Bowman, who's like 2 years younger than I am.
Not a kid.
Like, okay, guys.
Not a kid at all.
But yeah,
kids these days. What about the coaches these days?
It just seems like he's gearing up for. I mean, Tony Bennett. I mean, they've made the tournament, but they haven't been killing it since they won the title.
But at least they weren't eight. Disaster, and then he left. Apparently, Tony Bennett did that to secure the bag for his assistant.
Great,
because that's great for a program. Yeah. Just handing your assistant the job, it worked at Oklahoma. Doesn't work at all spots. Lincoln Riley, Bob Stoops, good choice for Bob Stoops. We'll see what happens at Virginia.
I don't know.
But if Mike Gundy retires,
I feel like he's going to retire. I mean, like you said, he's not gonna get fired.
No, he can't.
He can't leave. I mean, or he can leave, I guess. But I don't know what job is going to open.
Not off of this year.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, he has used success to maneuver his way into longer contracts. He has positioned Oklahoma State and put them in spots where they have to give him more money or he's threatened to leave. This is not the year for it, obviously. He probably wouldn't have apologized if he was in better standing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, what's he going to do? Take the Florida job after this year?
Could you imagine Florida hiring him off of this?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, this doesn't sound like a guy who wants to keep coaching. I'm sorry. Like, and it's been a couple years of how ornery he's been, where it's just, I don't know. It just doesn't feel like
you could attribute that to being just an old football coach at that point. But yes, this year has been poor, but they weren't bad last year.
No.
But this year they
then they brought back the entire team and now they stink.
It's not kids these days. Yeah, they were in the
Big 12 title.
Yeah, and they lost to Texas. Yeah. So
Texas broke coming off Oklahoma State football.
Coming off a 10-4 year, 7-2 in conference, and they met the Mighty Longhorns and the program
and
has been
never
broken.
Been the same. What's their point differential since that game? Probably not great.
Yes, if you want to play the game, because I can't fight you on facts here. You want to point to the game and go, yes, Oklahoma State's never been the same since they lost to Texas that
day. Quinn Ewers broke Oklahoma State football.
A couple more Quinn Ewers starts, he's going to break Texas football.
Hey,
you better watch himself.
Hey, they'll be an at-large.
That's the way you guys talk.
They'll be an at-large.
It's not my conversations. Those are the conversations you guys have. We had Longhorn keep calling yesterday, and you have had those conversations in your chat. I'm not the one who's doing it. You guys are. I'm just following the lead.
He's not going to ruin the program, though, because Arch will just take his job.
Are you sure about the Arch I saw?
Yeah,
the Arch I saw ain't saving anything.
Yeah, have two bad quarters against I'm sure Florida. See what happens.
I'm sure Arch would get the job. I'm not sure Arch is doing any better. Yeah, let's do some. Maybe everyone's LSU, and you put Arch in the zone read offense, and no one stops you. Because boom. I just don't think everyone reacts to that like LSU did.
I mean, that is a problem that Quinn is like the least mobile quarterback you'll watch on a Saturday.
Yeah, you watch.
That doesn't feel good.
You watch the entire landscape of college football go, Quinn.
Like, all these guys can run.
Move around a little bit. Go run for five. I mean, I'm not asking.
Yeah, like, scamper.
Pick up a first down on 3rd and 4.
Yeah, I'm not asking you to be, you know, Lamar Jackson out here. Just run a little bit.
Well, Lamar Jackson, be Drew Aller from Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, watch Will Howard. Like,
yeah, just pick up a first down or two. That's all we're asking for. Texas is just fine. They're firmly cemented with a spot in the CFP, and maybe we'll be playing for an SEC title despite all the conjecture about their quarterback.
Got to take care of business first, though.
Yes, don't look ahead.
Yeah, Florida. Steve Sarkisian says one of the best-looking teams you've seen all year.
So
they're very handsome. That's what I take.
Maybe loves what Aiden Warner looks like without a helmet on. Maybe that's what he's talking about. DJ Lagway, I know you're not playing.
What a looker.
And I'm thrilled because I get to look at your face, and you won't have a helmet on, I guess.
Oh,
Graham Mertz, handsome boy.
Billy Napier has not ruled out DJ Lagway. Yeah. Now, I say if you get carted off the field, you should automatically have to miss a game. Shout out to Jake Odorizzi. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how much of that is gamesmanship or just it actually isn't as bad of an injury as, again, getting carted off the field.
Yes, not being able to finish, understood. You pull a hamstring. Can't play. Getting carted off the field because you can't walk? People are like, did it come off the bone?
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
Did your knee explode?
Yeah.
Like, what happened?
No, just the hamstring. No,
questionable for next
Billy
Saturday.
Napier's doing the college football thing, coach thing, where you can't force me to actually give you an accurate injury report, so I'll just say whatever I want, much like this show. And we are done for the day. But before I wrap it up, I got to talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is where you go. If you have an issue... Well, with your plumbing, it could be anything from a leak. Maybe you have a major job that needs to be done. It could be a repipe. You don't know how to do that. That's why you go to experienced, excellent contractors that Aqueduct Plumbing Company will provide. The website is aqueductplumbingcompany.com. You can call them at 281-488-6238. you get a free price quote. So if you don't know what the problem is, you just know there is a problem. Some water's come from someplace, it's damaging the wall or your floors. They will take a look and they'll tell you what needs to be done. Billy Brown, the owner in the Clear Lake area, he's local. He's there for the local customer no matter where you are in the city of Houston. Go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com and check him out. From the most expensive thing that you think is a problem, won't be that way, but understood. You look at it, oh, that could be a problem. If you think that's an issue, go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. They will get you squared away. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. And since I just did that, Sean, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.